I'm going to ask you a question.
Are you a...
WOOC Radio in Troy?
Okay, thank you.
All right. WOOCC Radio in Troy.
All right.
There you go.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could talk about the media representation of you coming from the FASO campaign. What's really behind this whole thing about you and hip-hop?
The question was about the media representation of me, and in particular, my time as a hip-hop artist determined to help young people get more civically engaged. To be clear, the mission behind my music was always upliftment. It was always positive. It was always about trying to make sure young people felt inspired to highlight issues that they felt weren't being talked about, whether it was income inequality, whether it was wealth disparity, or a broken system not responding to a lot of people at all. Climate change also, bless you. Climate change was also something that I spoke about in 2006. For those who don't know, the Washington Post recently said that my lyrics were wonky. Let that sink in. Wonky. So my point is that when you deal with art and you pull words deliberately out of context for your own purpose, it's very easy to paint a picture that can generate divisiveness, and it's a nasty, cruel, and ugly way to campaign. And it is a distraction, and it is a disservice to the folks who need and deserve better. And you better believe that in me you got somebody who will stand up for what I did then, because what I did then is what I'm doing now, which is speaking truth to power. Yeah. That is what I'm doing. And I can't tell you how moved I am by the support, whether it was the 18 clergy members who came out and wrote a letter calling FASO to shame, or whether it was the local papers and national papers who made it clear, as the Washington Post did, the ads are grossly misleading, or whether it was Dr. Benjamin, a good friend of John FASO, who personally called me to apologize for the ads, or whether it was John FASO's predecessor, Chris Gibson, who went on record saying he regrets the tone of the ads. At every turn, across party lines, people are stepping up and saying, this can't be tolerated. Where is John FASO on this? Why can't he step up and say, we can do better?
I'm a Schenectadian, born on Parkwood Boulevard.
All right, Schenectadian.
And we're for Citizen Action. I want to know where your stand is on the Child Care for Working Families Act and the Family Act and those bills that have been languishing in Congress that address women's role as caregiving and how that keeps low-wage women out of the workforce.
I'm all for that. Child care for women, universal pre-K. We have a number of legislations that are on the table now that need to be prioritized and make sure that the people who are doing the work among working families in particular are given the support that they need. You know, what's unfortunate is the fastest growing group of people in our society right now are working poor people. It's the fastest growing class of Americans, and they're not getting any support. Instead, they're being demonized, right? The housing programs are being defunded. The SNAP programs are being increased in terms of work requirements, even though there's no, the fraud we're talking about is minuscule. There's no justification for this other than to take because you want to pay for something else that doesn't need any more help. So we've got to get to a point where we prioritize. I can't tell you how many discussions I've had with mental health care providers, you know, folks who deal with disabled. The people who are getting hurt the most right now are the most vulnerable amongst us. And I think there's this mindset from our politicians where, well, they're not going to vote. Their votes don't count.
Louder.
So they're... Louder? Really? Okay. Their votes don't count. And so this idea that they can just be pushed to the side and marginalized is not at all who we can accept ourselves to be. You judge a society's moral compass by how it treats the least amongst it.
Yep.
Right? That's how you judge it. I might lose my voice, but let's keep going. Yes.
So I'm interested in knowing your position on the public school versus the charter school situation. This administration is pushing a lot of, you know, private charter school, and I see the public school is sort of a foundation of our democracy. I'm curious where you stand on
that. Yeah, public schools are the foundation of our democracy. I'm proud to be endorsed by the teachers' unions. I'm proud to stand up for public schools. Here's the thing. If you're born certain limited economic means, or you got to struggle to make your way because of the challenges we face in this country, maybe as a woman, person of color, the great equalizer in this country traditionally has been education.
Yes, sir.
That has always been the great equalizer. That was the phrase my parents preached to me in my household every day. This is it, man. You work hard, you get good grades, you got a really good chance to go and do whatever you want to do. Just study. But when you start gutting resources from that level playing field on a public level, that ultimately undermines the very core of our democracy and allows folks to benefit from their built-in privilege at the expense of those who don't have.
Yeah.
And when you got the likes of Betsy DeVos at the top. I knew that was coming. But what's fascinating to me is they can't find money, you know, to support public schools. All they can do is talk about privatization. But they can find money, which blows my mind, as she tried to do a grant. They found money quick to arm teachers. So you can find money to do some backwards thing to deal with the problem of gun violence. You can do that, but you can't find money to empower our teachers, to empower our young people, and make sure they have a future.
Yeah.
It's imperative. We spend more money. This is a big issue for me. Because we spend more on corporate welfare, over $100 billion, propping up big oil, propping up big ag, propping up big banks, telecommunications, than we do in the Department of Education. Think about that. We spend more propping up corporate America in welfare than we do our children.
Yeah, speaking of money, and you don't have a lot of it, but if it's the source of all evil in politics, what can you do on the federal level to reduce money in politics and get us around to the rest of the world with public financing of elections?
Yes. So number one, to correct the record, we've been raising some good money from people, from individuals, and we're competing because people are engaged, and that money is critical. We have not, though, taken a cent from a corporate PAC.
Good.
All individuals. And I wanna, it's so important. People think, oh, money and politics is some abstract thing. No, when you don't hear John Faso say Medicare should have negotiating power with Big Pharma, there's a reason. It's because Big Pharma says you can't, John. That's why. That's why. There's a connection. When you hear John Faso, you see him vote for a bank bill that enables the big banks to do what they want to do. There's a reason for that. It's because the big banks said, we want you to, John. When you don't see John Faso do the work to protect the EPA and do the work to make sure we invest in renewable energy, it's because he's got the fossil fuel industry telling him, you can't do that, John. So there's money. That money in politics has a direct impact on your life. It has a direct impact on all your life. When he says that the government has no role to play in K-12 education, which he's on the record of saying, it's because he's in the pockets, or I should say, the privatization effort of schools is in his pocket. That's how it all connects. So how do we change this, right?
Yeah.
One, elect folks who don't take corporate PAC money, number one. Number two, elect individuals who are committed to overturning Citizens United. Yeah. Number three, elect folks who are committed to real campaign finance reform and passing legislation that empowers folks of limited means. There is legislation right now in the House that does that, that has matching funds that we can actually pass that will enable folks of limited means. I don't come from money. My wife doesn't come from money. We were just blessed to run during a time where a lot of people were wide awake, and with a lot of hard work, We said, can you help? And a lot of people felt compelled to do so. We have friends who've never given a cent to a candidate over the course of their life who are giving now. This time is different. It is different. And that's how we're able to do what we're doing. We're able to run a campaign that's not traditional in how we raise money because of the non-traditional way that folks like yourselves have stepped up. And we need that energy to continue. And that's another way we can help, making sure that we empower citizens to vote. Because no amount of money can erase a vote. It blows my mind that Election Day is a Tuesday. Why isn't it a holiday? Why can't we make it a day where everybody can show up comfortably, not worry about missing work when they got to work two or three jobs to get by, or they got to worry about child care, right? Make it easy for folks. Same day registration. Early registration. You turn 18, you get a license, you're registered.
Yes.
It's not that complicated. But we have a system that is designed to suppress that vote because we all know that most of us agree on these things. Most of us are more or less aligned with these issues. And the problem is we're not voting. Vote. Get out there, find some more people, and vote. And if we do that, we'll change the system.